glad to be in church tonight? I like what Brother Stoner said a minute ago, that it's something we shouldn't take lightly. Amen. The fact that we can get together in freedom and liberty, read from God's word, hear the preaching of it, pray together, sing together, it's a blessing, isn't it? Thank the Lord for it. Very quickly, does anybody have something they want to say they're thankful to the Lord about tonight? It's not because I have a short message. I'm not trying to burn time here. But I like to hear blessings from other people that God's laid on their hearts. Sarah, go right ahead. Start us out. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Brother Tom. Amen. Amen. Now, was Grandma and Brother Bobby kids on the bus together? Is that what I'm saying? Amen. Praise the Lord. I think somebody else had their hand up. Dustin. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Mama. Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Brother Bobby. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's a lot said right there. Someone else. Now's your chance. I can barely, yes, Megan. Couldn't see who it was back there. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Someone else. Brother Stoner. Amen. Praise the Lord, yep. Amen. Amen. Someone else. Going once. John chapter 15. John chapter 15. We started this last week. We're going to continue on. We're going to read verse 2 through 8 to start out tonight. We're talking about Jesus as the true vine. Jesus as the true vine. I think before we get started, one thing I was going to say, I think next Sunday night is going to be fill up the front of the church Sunday night. We're going to fill the church up from the front row back. Of course, Mrs. Boggs might leave the church over that. I'm not sure. But no, I'm just kidding. No, I'm thinking about that, though. Let's have front row church night. You know, start filling from the front back instead of having to just preach at Mrs. Rosignol and my wife and son. You know, it'd be kind of nice there. John chapter 15. We are looking at Jesus as the true vine, here. And last week we kind of opened it up and we looked at the first part of this where this is one of those sermons that Jesus taught specifically to the disciples. Remember, they had just had their last supper. Judas had just left the disciples to go betray Jesus. That's what's happening during this time. And they're on their way out to the Garden of Gethsemane. Okay, and we know the story that's about to happen. We know that he's getting ready to be arrested and be put on trial and to be beaten and scourged and to be hung on the cross. That's what it lies in wait for Jesus Christ right now as he's talking to the disciples about this. And we talked about how you can just imagine as they're walking out to the garden, you know, they all kinds of stuff, it is called a garden, you know, and there's all kinds of stuff planted, fruits and probably different vegetables and flowers. And he comes over maybe to this grapevine and he starts teaching them this lesson about him being the true vine and that they are the branches and the fruit that comes from the vine and the gardener that keeps the vine, talking about God the Father. And we saw how the person of this true vine is Christ himself. Jesus is the only true vine. Amen? There's no other. And the caretaker, the husbandman, is God the Father. And the branches are you and I. Okay, and that's where we opened up last week. We talked about what all is involved in this vine. Tonight I want us to pick up verse 2 through 8, and we're going to be looking at, the purpose of this vine. And this is probably as far as we'll get tonight. We'll probably spend another Sunday night on this topic here, but the vine has a purpose. Jesus Christ has had a purpose in everything that he's done ever since time began. In eternity past. God has never done anything by accident. He has a purpose in everything that happens. We don't understand that. How many times in life, and we've talked about this before, how many times in life has something happened, and we kind of wonder in the back of our minds, we know we don't question God, but we ask God, God, why did you let that happen? He has a purpose for it. It was not an accident, and we trust that by faith. Well, as Jesus is teaching this lesson here on him being the true vine, he teaches that this vine has a specific purpose. Let's read again verse 2 through 8. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. You know, as we started there in verse 2, we see the first thing about the purpose of this vine is he has a specific purpose. You know, one thing about, you know, the whole work of the Lord, whether we're talking about the church in general, or we're talking about the bus ministry, or the Sunday school ministry, or children's church, or the nursing home, or going out on visitation, sharing the gospel, the church, with Christ as the head, we have a specific purpose. We're not just biding time till the Lord comes. We have a purpose. Isn't it good to have a purpose? Don't you like to feel like what you do throughout the day has a reason? There's a reason for what you do. You know, my wife gets on me all the time because my day's off, I am driving nuts if I have nothing to do. I've got to find something to do. Tom, we've talked, he's the same way. He's got to have work to do. You know, got to be doing something. We like to have purpose about what we're doing. Christ has a purpose in everything that he does. A specific purpose. This vine that we're talking about has but one purpose: to produce fruit. That's its purpose. We've talked about it last week as far as having a garden. Do you grow tomato plants because of the pretty yellow flowers that come on them? No. Do you grow them to make your yard look nice and green? Why do you grow tomato plants? With the goal of what? Tomatoes, right? You want that fruit. You want that fruit off of it. You know? And that goes for any kind of vegetable or plant that we put in the garden. Yeah, the plant might be pretty. Some of them are kind of ugly, to be honest with you. But we do it because of the fruit that comes off of them. That's their purpose. This vine has one purpose: to produce fruit. Now, I'm going to put a little star right there. We're going to be coming back to that here in just a second as far as how that vine produces its fruit. But this vine exists for that purpose alone. Without fruit, the vine and all its efforts are wasted. If that vine does not have fruit on it and does not produce fruit, what good does it do? Christ has that purpose all down through the ages. Since he created man and Adam sinned in the garden, there in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we see the first promise of a Savior. And since that point, he has had a purpose of redeeming man, of seeing souls come to trust him by faith as their Savior, to bring that relationship back together between man and God. He's had that purpose. The true vine has a singular purpose, and that is to bear fruit to the glory of the Lord. It is also a purpose of honor. You think about this. The reason the vine desires to... Now, who is the vine? Jesus Christ. Okay, remember this. Now, think about this. The reason the vine desires to produce fruit, is it so the vine gets the honor? Who's the husbandman? The gardener. God the Father. Think about this. The vine desires to produce fruit so that the vine dresser might receive the honor. When a farmer brings his prized fruit to market, does he bring the plant that it grew on and say, here's the prize plant. This is what did it. Now, you never see that part of the plant. Who gets all the honor from that? Who gets the award from it? Who gets the benefit from it? The gardener does. The dresser does. He receives the honor. When fruit is yielded in this from this vine, from the branches, it's not the vine, it's not the branches, it's not the soil that this vine is growing in that receives the credit, is it? It's the husbandman. He gets all the glory from it. And all throughout Christ's life, how many times do we see that that his purpose was not to glorify himself, but to glorify the Father? Even the Holy Spirit does not seek to glorify himself. He glorifies the Father. Everything they do is to glorify, bring glory and honor to God the Father. Everything he did in his whole ministry was to bring glory to God the Father. You know, this ought to be our desire as a child of God. Everything we do, if we keep this in mind, you think of how different, you know, our lives might be. Everything we do from the moment we wake up till the time we lay our heads back down to sleep at night, if we do it to the glory of God the Father. What does 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 say? Whether therefore what? Do all to the glory of God. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do. You think about that. I think about that in my life. I could have done some things a little different this past week. There's some things I may have said or things I may have done. Really, it didn't bring much glory to God the Father. That humbles us, doesn't it? That makes us strive. Maybe I can do a little bit better this coming week. Bringing glory to the Father in heaven. There's something wrong in any life when there's no desire to bring glory and honor to God. It concerns me when somebody claims to be saved, but they have no desire to seek God's glory and God's honor, to bring honor to Him. It just doesn't matter to them. That's concerning. There's also the purpose in this vine is delegated. Now, that delegation is something that is hard to learn sometimes, isn't it? Delegation. You know, especially if you're the boss. You know, having to learn how to give out responsibilities and trust people to do other things. This work of God has been delegated to us. Now, think about this. This is where I told you to put a little star by the purpose of the vine is to produce the fruit. Notice this truth here. The vine itself does not bear the fruit. Now, it helps produce it. Don't get me wrong. Don't take it wrong yet. The branches are the part that bears the fruit. The branches. Who are the branches? Look around you. It's us. We are the branches. Christ is the vine. We are the branches. The vine itself does not bear the fruit. The fruit of the vine are the branches. And then we produce fruit from ourselves through the vine. Okay, that's what I'm saying. You got to put all these together. The vine supplies life to its branches. the vine supplies that life, and they take, the branches take that life that is supplied to them and use it to bear fruit. Without the vine, we cannot bear fruit. But on the other hand, the vine uses the branches to bear the fruit. That's why God, Christ puts such an emphasis in here and saying, and making sure that the disciples here and that us today, that we understand that, listen, you cannot produce fruit unless you are in the vine. You must abide in Christ. Outside of that, you cannot produce anything to the honor and glory of God. To word to the branches about being fruit-bearing, you think about this. There's different requirements to bear fruit for the Lord. There in verse 2, look what it says again. Every branch where? What's the, it's a preposition is what it's called. What's that? What's that preposition? Two letters. In. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. Every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. You go down through there in verse 4. Abide where? In me. And I in you. You keep on reading down verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me. And I in him. You get where Christ is going with this. The branch must be a part of the vine. It must be. You know, if you are not in the vine, there's no way for you to share the life that comes from that vine. You can't do it. You know, sometimes you when you're weeding and things like that, or if you have these trees that are overgrown, sometimes, in fact, there's one right over here on the corner of the property here. You ever see those great big vines? I mean, they get really thick down at the base, and they grow up into these trees, and they just completely take over the tree. You ever seen those before? You know what I'm talking about. Down in Puerto Rico, and even up here in the Shenandoah Mountains, they have this vine that's called footonite. You know why they call it footonite? It grows a foot a night. It takes over really quick. They call it footonite. All the vines that go throughout that tree, though, I mean, it can just take over a huge area, completely kill a huge tree, or even a bunch of trees, just spread from tree to tree to tree. If you go back and you cut that one vine, all that dies. That's all you got to find is that one little vine. And then you'll see, you know, what, like if you have a garden and you got vines growing in your garden, you can cut that one vine at its base, and you'll see what's really part of the plant and what's part of the vine that's taking over, or the weed that's taking over, or something like that. You'll see that one part is not part of the real plant because of that. Spiritually, what we're talking about here tonight, you must be a part in Christ to be a part of this vine, to be a part of this work. If you're not in the vine, there is no way for you to share in the life of this vine. It's that vital union between the believer and the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we need to recognize, you think about this, as we look at this, our standing with this. If we are in the vine, now you think about this, then we were in him when he went to Calvary. We were in him when he arose from the dead. There in Romans chapter 6, it talks about that. If that's the case, then just like Christ, when we get saved, our old man has been crucified. We've been raised to what do we say when people get baptized? We put them down and they say, to walk where? In newness of life. Newness of life. If we are in him, then we are in him today. Where is Christ today? Where's he at? He's sitting on his throne. He's reigning in heaven. We are in Christ, folks. Don't underestimate your position. Think about that. This world will smush us under their feet any chance they get. They'll make us feel as puny as possible, as helpless as possible, as powerless as possible. I'm in Christ, and as far as I know from this book, and I believe it, my God, this Christ is on his throne, and he's well aware of everything going on. He's well in control of everything going on. And at the snap of his finger, he can stop it all. That's where we are, folks. If you are in the vine, don't forget the standing you have. The blessing that comes along with that. Your position as far as being in Christ. It goes beyond just being saved. It's far more than that. If we're in him, we've already ascended into heaven. That's our home. We're pilgrims here. Do you believe that? Sometimes I think we live this life and we think we're here to stay. I don't know about you. I'm not here to stay. I'm ready to go when the Lord says, let's go home. But in the meantime, he's got stuff for us to do. Amen? But we can't forget where our position lies. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Look in verse 6. This verse will help us out. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6. Paul speaking here. Let's back up to verse 4. We'll read up to it. Ephesians chapter 2, start in verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with who? With Christ, the true vine, right? By grace ye are saved. Now look at verse 6 here. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Where? In Christ Jesus. Oh my goodness, folks. Never hang your head down and have a sorry part, you know, just a sob sorry for ourselves, feeling sorry for ourselves, and woe is me. Folks, remember who you are and where you're at. Remember where your standing is tonight. That should get us excited about it. But the branch, first of all, must be part in the vine. And this goes a little bit, be a part of the vine. Number two goes a little bit more detail, and we've been mentioning it, to abide in the vine. Verse 4 and 5 there mentioned those two words. It wasn't just in. Put to abide in the vine. Abide in the vine. That means we must maintain a close fellowship with this vine if he is to live through us and produce his fruit in our lives. Having that close fellowship with Christ. My wife's sitting down here. I hope I don't get in trouble for this. We went out on a date Monday. Kelly, can we talk about our date? If I wanted to talk to her personally about things like that, I'm not going to do it from here. I'm going to get down there close to her. Folks, sometimes we don't get intimate with Christ because we're not getting close enough to him. You need to make sure in our spiritual lives, we must make sure that we stay as close and abide as close as possible. In fact, they use the word, you can't get any closer than in the vine. In Christ. And stay there. Stay as close to God as you possibly can. Let God speak to you intimately. To lead you and guide you and change you like no other person can. I love my wife, and she has been a tremendous help to me through the years and an encouragement in the ministry. And, you know, she sees me do things more than just about anybody else sees me do things. And she'll let me know sometimes, you know, we really shouldn't be doing that, or we shouldn't go there. We need to be careful with this. Yeah, you're right, honey. You know, but you know what? Even she can't be as close to me as God. You must stay close to the Lord. Maintain that close fellowship. If he's to live through us and produce his fruit in our lives, we've got to remain in Him, abiding there, abiding in Him. That takes work. How does one abide in Christ? Praying. It's a good place to start, amen? Talking to the Lord. How do you talk to God? Praying. How does God speak back to you? Through His Word. Pray, folks. Talk to the Lord. You know, we read verses like, pray without ceasing. Is there ever a time you can't pray? I think Pastor mentioned just last week, week two ago, can't go to sleep at night, what's a good thing to do? Start praying. Pray when you're going down the road. Pray at work. Nobody can stop you from doing that. Pray. Prayer. Reading God's Word. And a lot of times we think, well, that's what I've got to do. I've got to read God's Word and pray. Read God's Word and pray. There's more than just that. Denying self. Drawing nigh to God. Abiding in Christ. I mean, there's a lot of ways that God gives us to draw closer to Him. You can't draw too close to God. Just when you think you've gotten there, God shows you something else, doesn't He? Well, you need to bring this part of your life a little closer to me. Okay, now that you got that taken care of, let's work over here a little bit. The whole Christian life, till we get to heaven, we're going to be working on drawing closer to God. Abiding in that vine. The closer we abide to the vine, the more His life can flow through us and produce the fruit that He desires. You know, the larger that branch gets and the healthier it gets and where it's connected to that main vine, the more fruit it starts to produce. The more the branch grows, the more the vine can feed it. The more the vine can use it to produce the fruit. But if that vine decides just to remain withered and not grow, not go in the direction that it's supposed to go, and it continues to fight the vine, it won't produce fruit. Sometimes we even see in our garden, there's just a branch off the tomato vine or off the cucumber limb or something like that, and it just, it looks gross. It looks very unhealthy. And what do we do to it? If there's nothing we can do to it, we take the easy way out. We just snip it off. It's done. Folks, we've got to abide more and more and more. Every chance, every opportunity, every time the Holy Spirit works in our heart, don't fight that. When the Holy Spirit moves and He tries to convict us or move us and through the preaching of the Word of God or to burden us for a soul to be saved or whatever it might be, don't fight the Holy Spirit in it. Man, get excited. God's doing something in you. Ask Him to complete that work, to help you with it. Abide more in that vine. Just a question tonight as we're looking at this. How do you describe your attachment to the vine tonight? How healthy is it? It's attached. You know, you're saved. You're a Christian. You're a branch. But how healthy is that attachment of being in that vine? Something for us to all work on. Amen. This vine also, or this branch also, must be usable to the vine. You know, this fruit bearing that we talk about is a passive activity as a part of the branch, on the part of the branch. If the branch, you think about this, if the branch, all he has to do is abide in the vine, and what happens? He produces fruit. The vine makes that happen. The branch simply needs to just abide in the vine. And the more he abides in that vine, the more fruit he'll produce. I don't know about you, that kind of makes me feel how would you put it? A little bit more at ease? You ever look at the work Christ is, or God's given us to do and we think, man, where do we start? There's so much to do. God does the work if we're just willing to be used by Him. He gets it done. Things and ways we'll never understand. But He gets it done through us when we're willing to do it. When we're willing to abide in the vine and allow the vine to work through us. We are not required, as branches, we're not required to do anything but abide in the vine. It is the vine's responsibility to produce His fruit in my life, in your life. It is God's response, or Christ's responsibility, to produce fruit that's honoring and glorifying to God in your life. Christ wants to do that. He's ready to do that. If we're willing to allow Him to do that. If we yield, He will live through your life and my life. That's the way it works. He supplies everything we need when we get to the point where we allow the vine to work through us. You know, when we speak of fruit, we'll close here for the night. When we speak of fruit, what do we mean? First thing that comes to our mind a lot of times is what? Souls. Amen? And that is a big fruit. And we'll talk about that here in just a second. But don't think for a moment that's the only fruit we produce. We used to actually probably spend here all night and talk about different fruits that the Christian should produce in his life. I've got a couple here. What will be produced in our lives when we yield to the Lord? Let's look at three different fruits here real quick and we'll be done. Number one, a transformed life. Things change, don't they? Brother Bobby gave a testimony just a minute ago of, I think, to the words that things that were in the old life, they've been changed. That's the way it should be, amen? I'm not saying we were a bunch of murderers or thieves or anything like that, but we were filthy sinners, weren't we? You know, when we get saved, and we abide in that vine. The more we abide in that vine, the more He transforms us to be what He wants us to be. The vine guides the branch to where he can grow better, to where he can flourish better, to where he can get more sunlight. Jesus Christ transforms us and guides us and leads us in a way we may not understand. But when we look back on it, I know I can look back on my life and see times at the time I didn't know what God was doing. It was hard. Maybe it was a hard trial to go through. But I look back on it now and I wouldn't trade it for the world. Because of what the Lord did and the transformation He put in my life right there. I think a lot of us can look back on that. Go to Romans chapter 6, verse 22. Romans chapter 6, look in verse 22 here. You think about this transformed life. It talks about how we become more like Him. That's the transformation, to be more like Christ. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. But look what it says here. But now being made free from sin, amen? Isn't that a blessing? To be made free from sin and to become servants to God. Ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life. What a verse. Another fruit that starts getting produced through us, it goes right along with this transformation. We become more Christ-like. Christ-likeness. Now don't get me wrong, you will never be, on this earth, in this flesh, you'll never be Christ. Okay? When we get to heaven, we'll have our glorified bodies, they'll be sinless then, okay? But for right now, that does not give us any excuse, though, to not strive to be Christ-like. You think about that term, to be Christ-like. In other words, it's saying that we behave more like Him. Mom and Dad ever tell you, maybe your moms and dads, you ever tell your kids, behave yourself? How many times do you tell that to your kids as they're growing up? Can't even count it, right? You know, Chrissy tells Ed that all the time. You know, he'll learn one of these days. Now you think about how, what does that term mean, to behave yourself? You look throughout the Bible, and in some way, fashion, or another, how many times does God tell us, behave yourself? And how to do it? You want to learn how to become Christ-like? Read it. Read it. You don't read it, you won't learn how to become Christ-like. You might copy the pastor. You might copy your Sunday school class teacher. You might copy your parents, but you know what? They're human. They're sinners saved by grace. There's only one example that lived a sinless life and that can teach us a perfect way. And that's Jesus Christ. And his life is found right here. This is where we learn that. This is where we learn how to behave ourselves. It's not on the television. Dr. Phil can't help us behave ourselves. God can. And you can't go wrong with this. Amen? To be Christ-like. Go to Galatians chapter 5. You probably know already where we're going. Just mentioning that. Galatians chapter 5. Verse 22 and 23. What it says here. We call this the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. There's a good place to start right there. You read through the Bible and you'll find all, before you know it, you'll find this book is full of counsel like that. The answers that you get from this book for the questions in life, how to react to things, wisdom on how to do things, how to handle certain situations. You got a problem with your boss at work? Answers right here. It's there. You got a problem with your family, with a husband, or with your wife, or with your kids? Answers right there. It teaches us everything we need to know to be Christ-like. And then third of all, we see what we said in the beginning, what we think of most of the time when we think about a Christian bearing fruit, he is soul-seeking. He has a burden for souls. A burden for souls. We must be burdened like Christ. You know, I think if we all put that in our prayer time, you know, when we pray for God to give us a burden for souls, pray specifically that he gives us a burden like Christ has for souls. You think about that. You look at the burden that Christ had for souls. The disciples, how many times did they want to send the crowd away? It's time to go to bed, Lord. We're tired. We want to go to sleep. We're hungry. And what did Christ do? Had compassion on them. They wanted to send the children away. What did Christ say? Bring the children to me. They wanted to send the leper away, the blind man away. Oh, bring them here. Let me heal them. He had a burden for souls. His whole life was wrapped around people. To love them, to save them, to redeem them. That's why he came. Go to Romans chapter 1, verse 13. We'll close with this verse. Romans chapter 1, look in verse 13. Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, as oft times I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. Paul leaves an example here of his burden that he had for people. You know, sometimes we have to sacrifice to have a burden for souls. You do. You're not going to make a whole lot of friends going out here door to door and passing out John and Romans. People aren't going to welcome you in and have you come in, sit down, drink some coffee with them, hear what you have to say. I wish it was that way. It used to be that way a lot of times. That's why we need to ask God to give us a burden for them. They need to be saved. They need to be saved. Look at the people around you in here this morning. You know, there was a time they were lost. And now they're some of your best friends. They're family in Christ. Look at how it changed, how salvation changed one another. We need to have that burden for the ones that are lost. See them get saved as well. So souls, a burden for souls is definitely a fruit as well of the Christian. Folks, abide in the vine. Let's all make it a prayer to develop a relationship closer to Christ each and every day. Amen. Let's all stand, heads bowed and eyes closed.